huge lesson for me and the importance of small parts. Actually, it started last Sunday when I got into my car, or was it the Sunday before? I guess it was the Sunday before. I got into my car, I turned the key, it started up, I pulled out, I headed down the road, and the check engine light started to flash and flash and flash. And I thought, this is not good. And so I turned around and I took the car home, thankful that we had two cars, although Joe's is rather small, and got into his car and drove off to church. Well, waiting to get it into the shop and all, took it in this past week, and everything seemed to be fine. It kept starting, it kept running, it kept doing everything. So I thought, oh, it's only going to be that they need to reset that check engine light, and I'm going to be off again. Well, I got a call at the end of the day. Now it won't start at all. And I was like, what did you do to my car? Well, when it was all said and done, one small problem had now become one bigger problem. Not only had the check engine light not been handled, but the computer was now fried in my car and had to be replaced. A little, you know, the computers in cars are not that big. Cars have run without computers for eons. And all of a sudden, the car won't even start without the computer. Well, they got a new computer and put it in. And lo and behold, the real problem all along had been one little nick in the wiring for the spark plug. All it needed was a new spark plug harness. And we're off again. Such a small part, but such a big deal. If the engine continues to fire incorrectly, eventually you have serious problems. Also this week, Joe took his car in to have the tires worked on because one of them was losing air. And they stripped one of the lug nuts. So they said, we've got to put a new lug nut. It's just been a week, hasn't it? And we've got to put a new lug nut on there. But we don't have your particular lug nut in stock, so you will have to bring the car back. The importance of small parts. Well, he took the car back to get that done because although you can drive around with three rather than four lug nuts, what happens in the process? You put more strain on the other ones, and eventually you'll end up with bigger problems. Small parts are so important. I am sure that if we were in a discussion about all the things in your attics and closets and the many things that you have given away to yard sales and the trash man, you would be amazed at how many things seem perfectly good except for one small part that won't work. Joe has a turntable and our record player is. I always knew them as. And although playing records is going to be rather out of date for most people, he still has a record collection and would still like to be able to play it. The beautiful turntable in perfect running operation, except for one thing, the stylus. That's that little, the smallest part in the world, that little teeny itty-bitty needle. That's all it needs. And it could play a record. But that's all it doesn't have. The importance of small parts. It's amazing. Have you ever been at a yard sale looking over the different tables and find something and go, wow, I can't believe that's here and they only want 25 cents for it. And then you realize it's missing one teeny weeny part. Something that should be so insignificant, but in a sense ruins the effect of the whole piece or makes it completely inoperable. It's amazing. NASA has learned the importance of small parts. Some of it they've learned the hard way. It was a very small part, some fractures in an O-ring that caused the Challenger to explode. Such a small part, such a huge disaster. And what about the Apollo 13? Do y'all remember several years back that movie? Blockbuster hit. People went to see it to find out the story. Many of you probably remembered living the story. If I remember right, it was some frayed wiring some wiring that caused the oxygen to not operate correctly, which caused it not to fire correctly, and all kinds of things from there. And they almost lost the astronauts because of some wiring. Small parts are hugely important. As we look at our scripture this morning, Paul is talking about the many parts of the body of Christ. In fact, he talks about us as the church, as though we were a body. Many, many, many people, many gifts, many ways of going about doing things, and yet one God, one Spirit, one Lord that gives it all. And he talks about the importance of each and every one of those parts. It is so easy for us as Christians, I believe, to get fixated on certain gifts. In Corinth, they were fixated on some gifts like speaking in tongues, and that was causing some problems. But each and every one of us, probably if we're honest, we have a list in our head about what gifts in the church are most valuable, are the big gifts, the important gifts, and what gifts are, well, you know, I guess we have to give them credit for something. Often on the top of those lists for people is perhaps the gifts of preaching, pastoral gifts, visitation gifts. Perhaps on the top of many of your lists, it's music gifts because of the value you find that music helps in worshiping. For some people, you may put different things on that list, but everybody seems to have their list. And on everybody's list, there are the big gifts and then those little insignificant gifts. The scripture names over 30 gifts, and they range from everything from leadership and administration and encouragement to gifts like artists and craftspeople would have. Huge number of gifts. And I'm one that doesn't think we should limit ourselves to the gifts explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but the sense of the entire range of gifts that God has given us. Many of us may think, well, we don't have gifts that are that significant. Or people in our lives, we think, don't have gifts that are that significant because we've already designed our list. There's one story of such a person with such a list. I have mentioned Fred Craddock in my services and sermons, I think, several times. He is an incredible preacher, an incredible teacher, and just somebody that I truly admire. And he was a professor of preaching at the seminary I attended. And one of the stories he tells is of a preaching engagement he had. He was up front early for the service, arranging his notes and getting ready to preach, when a woman walked into the nearly empty sanctuary, straight up in front of the pulpit that he was getting ready to preach in front of, it, and said, "Mr. Craddock, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Are you a charismatic?" And he looked right at her, and he said, "Most certainly, ma'am." And she just beamed with delight that he was a man that believed in the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit obviously were very important to her. And she said with great delight, "Oh, sir, what is your gift?" And he said, "My gift is teaching. And let me tell you, Fred Craddock has a spiritual gift of teaching." Well, this satisfied her not at all. She whirled around on her heels and back out the back of the sanctuary she went. She was not the least bit impressed. His gift didn't make her list. It didn't make her cut. It wasn't an important gift. Now, just because she says it's not important doesn't mean it's not. After all, the foot cannot say to the eye, "Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body." It is no less a part of the body, is it? And the eye can't say to the foot, "I don't have any need of you. What can you do? You can't see. What good are you?" It is still a necessary part of the body. But I do think that we have a tendency sometimes to get fixated on certain gifts, thinking about them as more important than others. I think sometimes when we look at our own life, often we downplay some of the incredible gifts that God has given us. I was thinking today of some of the insignificant gifts that some people in this congregation may think they have, or they may even think they've been passed over and haven't been spiritually gifted at all. While I stand up here and preach, they think, well, obviously that's a gift of the Spirit. But what can I do? Who am I? God has certainly left me off the list of gifts. Well, none of us possess all the gifts. The eye cannot jump around and walk around for itself. It has to have the feet. The feet can't figure out where they're going without the eye. They need it. And where would the feet go without the brain to tell it, the ears to hear information, and the eyes to see? We are all in such desperate need of each other's gifts. And just as my car is not going to function as well without all the parts functioning correctly, and won't function at all if some are missing, the church does not function as well without all of our gifts in operation. And some of the ones that we think are the smallest, most insignificant, sometimes are the most important. For instance, many of you today are going to display that you truly have the gift of cooking. We're going to go over there and we're going to eat and we're going to ooh and awe over the things that you have made. And I will guarantee you will not be oohing and aahing over anything that I have made over there. For the very specific reason that I do not have the gift of cooking. I do not enjoy it, and I barely do it well. There are a couple things that I can make really well and impress people with, but it's not because I enjoy it. Furthermore, I enjoy eating, and so I have a great desire that we have people in this world who have the gift of cooking, because I do not. And for all of you who have the gift of cooking, you need people in this world who have the gift of eating, who can put that on their tongue and go, wow, you have done an excellent job. There are times when that gift of cooking is more than just an opportunity for us to socialize. In this past year, we have lost some significant members in our church to death. It has been tragic. It has been painful for the families. And as a pastor, my first thoughts are, how can I comfort the family with my words and my presence and my prayers? But there are members of this church who have a different gift, a more practical gift in some ways. But both are very necessary. My gift of thinking of their emotional needs and their gift of thinking of their practical needs. What are they going to eat? When the family comes in, what are they going to serve them? They know that need and use their gift of cooking and hospitality and of thinking of those practical concerns of physical needs and comforts to provide for those families. Fantastic gift. And yet sometimes I think we overlook it and don't even think of it as spiritual at all. I believe that each and every one of you has been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Scripture puts it that way in one part. You are special, unique, designed individuals. And everything about you has been crafted by God to make you an instrument of God's will and love in this world. Everything you have can be a gift of God. Everything you are can be a gift of God. Some of you may be big mouths. You know, you just can't handle it. You just can't keep your mouth shut. Somebody says something and you think something and it's out your mouth before you. And you go, well, actually, that is one of my gifts. Which is why I'm standing up here. You know, when God gets a hold of something, sometimes it actually becomes useful. But there's somebody else in Scripture who had that gift. Peter. Do you remember Peter? Peter was one of those impulsive people. And normally, we act as though impulse is not a gift, but a liability. Well, Peter was very impulsive. He was always jumping into things, speaking before and acting before he thought. He was the one out of the boat sinking. You know, he was the one Jesus said, who am I? Oh, you're the Son of God. He was also the one when Jesus said, I'm going to die. He says, no, you're not. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. There were times when Peter's mouth and Peter's impulsiveness got him in trouble. But then, when he truly becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ, is baptized in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens to Peter? It's Pentecost. Everyone's talking, and people are around going, these people must be drunk. This is ridiculous. It's Peter that stands up and says, no. It's Peter that acts. It's Peter that speaks. And because Peter is a man of action and a man of words. He is dramatically used by God. Throughout Scripture, we see lots of people who seem slightly flawed. And yet, when God gets a hold of them, some of the things that seemed liabilities before now become assets. I believe each of you has special gifts. Perhaps you're a quiet person that listens very well. Perhaps you're a loud, noisy person who gets involved and helps people have joy and excitement. Perhaps you're a very thoughtful, practical person who thinks about things like, well, if we're going to have the celebrant singers come and we're going to need electricity, then this is where we're going to need to plug it in and wire it. I don't have the gift of wiring. You know, we have a man in our congregation that does. Don did all of it. It was wonderful. We couldn't have had the celebrant singers without him. We had people who said, we're going to need places for them to stay and figured out how to make them comfortable in their home. It was amazing. All of you are truly gifted with God. Truly gifted. And none of you have been passed over. And if you think, perhaps, yeah, I have a gift, but it's one of those itty-bitty kind of non-essential things, remember the O-rings on the space shuttle Challenger. Remember the wiring in my car, as well as on the Apollo 13. And remember that God never gives things that are insignificant, but always things that are wonderful, even if it seems different. For after all, Paul says in this, on the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Your gift, no matter what it is, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem to you, I guarantee you, it's indispensable for this church and to God. And it is my prayer that we will begin to discover who we are, what our gifts are, and give each other the affirmation, the opportunity, and the support to step out, begin to acknowledge them, and use them for God, no matter how insignificant we may think they are. Let us pray. Lord, you have been a part of my life for a very long time. And for years, many of the things that I now do with such ease and confidence, I used to think were things I shouldn't do at all. I used to be afraid that my mouth would get me in trouble. And sometimes, Lord, it still does. But I thank you that you have given me that gift, that I might use it for your kingdom. Lord, there are many sitting before me this morning who have gifts, who have things that they just can't help but doing. They're so naturally a part of who they are that they don't think about it as a gift at all. Lord, teach them. Teach them that you have created that way, them that way for purpose. And show them the many ways that they can use those natural parts of themselves to glorify your name. Yeah.